lift him up and honor him this morning. Just praise God. I know this virtual service is different for all of us. I know there's so many changes, so many updates going on. But as we come together on this Sunday morning, I'm going to ask you, just like we normally would, turn off any device that's going to distract you. Gather the family around, no matter how you're watching it. Whether you're doing it live now or you're watching it at a later time because you couldn't this morning. Well, I just want to let each and every one of you know how much we love you, how much we miss you, how much we're excited to get together and excited about the service and the message this morning. And you know, no matter what situations we go through, as all the news and the changes keep going on and each state's going to be different, the government saying this and that type things, but we know something is never changing, and that's our God in heaven. Because He is. He's the great I Am. And our Savior Jesus Christ is alive right now. We just want to praise Him and thank Him for this morning. We're going to have a couple of quick announcements. And then I just want to, as you are getting tuned in and settled in, whatever situation you are this morning, we've got one. And we're going to try something Tuesday night for you men, the Band of Brothers. We're going to gather. We're not going to gather together at my house this next week, which is due our meeting. We will continue. I would like to go back live next month when we get back together and start meeting in a location. But I'm going to ask each and every one of you. I've texted a lot of you, put a large group together of names. Anyone else that wants to join, please let me know that you'd like to join in with us. But what I'd like to do Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. is we're going to have a quick prayer meeting, and I'm going to ask all you men that would like to join in, if you have a prayer request, just send it out in the text. Let me know. We're going to gather together, those of you that can, and wherever you're at, in your home, at work, or whatever that situation is, Tuesday evening. But we're going to have prayer, and we're going to look for a direction that we want to go, and we're going to continue to lift that up. And I know the other ministries are all working in different ways with our pastor to organize how things are going to start going back to a little bit of normal. And we're going to follow the rules. And we're going to go along that way. But I think if we do it all in this tech situation, and maybe I'll get techy enough and we might do a little Facebook thing from the house. But I just don't want to take up a lot of your time. But I do want to have that. And I feel it's so needed, so needed. Had a conversation with our Sunday school class this morning about starting that next week. So there's so much going on. But I don't want to delay this service this morning. I'm excited what God has in store for us. It is a beautiful, beautiful morning. Praise God. As we get ready to go to prayer, wherever you are, if you can, acknowledge to the Lord that you know and He knows your prayers. But show by the raising of your hand, the bowing on your knees, whatever situation that you're in right now, He knows each and every one, each and every family. There's someone we know, someone we've come in contact with, whether it's financial, whether it's protection, whether it's healing, no matter what the situation is right now, we're just going to just give each and every situation over to Him right now in Jesus' name. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You this morning. Dear Lord, this beautiful morning that You've given us, dear Lord, as we all wake up, as we start stirring early this morning, dear Lord, and now as we gather together for service, dear Lord, we know that You can take control. You can take this situation, dear Lord, and just place it all in Your mighty hands. Lord, You know the prayer requests, those spoken and unspoken. Dear Lord, You know the needs. Dear Lord, we pray for our church family, for our friends, for everyone watching in this morning, for everyone that has a situation and a need, dear Lord, from our church to our community to our city, our state, and to our country. Dear Lord, we ask for You just to continue to lead our leaders, dear Lord. May they call on You, dear Lord, for guidance. Dear Lord, may we call on You to be our Lord and Savior and to be our guide. Dear Lord, we love and praise You this morning. And Lord, I also want to lift up those that have worked diligently with this broadcast. Lord, all those with the musicians or those with the technical side, Lord, we want to thank You, dear Lord, for giving us these young people, dear Lord, that they can just do Your will and do Your way. Dear Lord, ask for Your blessings on them. Dear Lord, for all the nurses, doctors, and all those that are in harm's way. And again, dear Lord, we just want to lift up our pastor and his family for Your protection on them as they go about Your work and all Your needs. Lord, we just praise Your holy name in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen, amen. I just want to mention, as we get ready, we're going to call on a couple of special singers as everybody gets into place. And I just, again, want to acknowledge those that's doing all this behind-the-scene work. If you know how many hours they've put in and how much God is blessing, we just give You all the honor and give Him all the honor and glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.
clouds of doubt hover o'er me. Storm clouds toss me to and fro. There is a place I can go, 'cause he's a ship for every tempest. He's an anchor that is sure, and in times like this, it's good to know God is my refuge. He's a strong and mighty tower that I can run into. God is my refuge. Without Him, what would I do? Once I wandered from the shelter up ahead, I could not see those dark clouds so heavy it rained. And then the wind blew so hard against me, he called out and I ran to him, and I'll never wonder again.
Say to someone who feels like they've lost it all, they're over the edge with no one there to break the fall. And what do you say to someone who feels so unloved? They're giving themselves away a little bit every day just to be good enough. What do you say to a hopeless soul who can't remember their way home? Everything is out of their control. There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartache He can't take you through. So before you think that you're too lost to say, remember. That's trying so hard to forget. What do you say to dreams all met? There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no before you think they are too lost to save, remember
there is nothing greater than grace.
So don't lose hope, don't let go, don't give up, 'cause you not alone. There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no before you think that you're too lost to say, and before you think that you're too lost to say, and before you think that you're too lost to say, remember
there is nothing greater than grace.
Praise God.
Nothing
greater than grace. Thank God for His amazing grace, for His power, for His love, and His anointing that gives us the ability together to worship the Lord. So good to have each and every one of you tuning in today for our live stream service. As already been mentioned, we are going live next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We will be having corporate worship in Sunday school and also in our 11 o'clock worship service. I do want to take this time to thank all of you who have been so faithful and so dedicated to continue to support the church. Not only through the live stream, but your offerings and your tithe are coming in, and we so appreciate that. You're so faithful, and we thank God, and we just pray that His blessing will enrich each and every one of you, and hope you all are doing well. Man, the storm is almost over. I believe by faith that we're coming out victorious, and I'm so thankful. You know, I was thinking this morning, probably for the last 6 weeks or more, Satan's been having a heyday, probably thinking that he has brought fear and panic and on the church and as well as on our nation, but seem like Satan is using this as a tool to fight against God's people. But I got news for you. I think all Satan has done is energize the church. Every pastor that I'm talking to, every member of God's church, not the local assembly, but God's born-again believers, are all focused now on worshiping and serving the Lord, and they've got a greater ambition than I've seen in many, many years. So let's seize this opportunity. Let's take this opportunity, rather, amen, to continue to work for the Lord and be energized in whatever capacity you are fulfilling in your church or whether you're a part of the ministry or not. Seize this opportunity to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you, and we love you. This morning, we're going to go to the book of Galatians in the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians. We want to begin in verse number 7 this morning as we feel this is where God has led us. We're so thankful that God has not had to shelter in. Amen. He's still alive and well. Amen. We can still communicate with Him on a daily basis. And if you're like me, I have to communicate with Him on an hourly basis. I can't make it without the Lord. But I do read that with Him all things are possible, and I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. In the book of Galatians this morning, in the sixth chapter, beginning with verse number 7, the apostle writes, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for a relationship with You. We're so thankful, Lord, that You continue to smile down upon us with Your blessing and Your anointing. And Father, we pray this morning that You would reach out to those that are lost, those that are in dire straits and situations. God, those who are in financial problems, I ask, Lord, that You reach out to them this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that this word would sink deep into our hearts. God, that we might be submissive and obedient to Your will. God, let it produce growth and edification as we bind together, Lord, as a church, born-again believers. God, to do that You have called us to do. I pray, Lord, that You would send revival in this land. Stir up our hearts. Stir up our mind, God, that we'll be more in tune to Your will and to Your word. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, for a message topic, I want to preach on the household of faith. The household of faith. Webster tells us that the definition of household is a house and its occupants regarded as a unit. I want to bring to our remembrance this morning some obligations and responsibilities of the church. When I'm talking and referring to the church, as I already explained, I'm not talking about this local assembly only, but I'm talking about the born-again believers, those who've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, those who have been filled with His glorious Spirit, striving to live a life of righteousness and holiness unto the Lord. This is the household of faith. And if ever there was a time for the church to be a unit, it's the day and hour that you and I are living in now. Things are being brought to our attention that we've never witnessed before. My generation has gone through some hard times, but never have we seen situations in a pandemic in the fashion that we see today. But I got news for you. Greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world or he that is against us. I believe that the apostle here was talking to the church at Galatia, and he was instructing them and encouraging them, amen, to what they should do for each other and how they should carry on as born-again believers. How many know and realize that when we're born again and we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and we invite His Spirit to come in and take its abode up in our life, we take on a responsibility, not only a responsibility to keep our soul straight, but a responsibility to be a help to others, to reach out to others. And the apostle here begins to mention some things specifically that church members and church people who have been born again need to do, not only for themselves, but to reach out for others. I believe that we should understand through the power of God, God has equipped us, amen, to go out into the highways and the hedges and begin to reach out and to seek those who need help. Those certainly who are lost need to be pointed to Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Paul here begins to write and instruct. There's certain things, and if you would allow me just a little time this morning, I'd like to take some of these things and go over them kind of specifically as we begin into the Scripture of God's Word this morning. One thing that the Apostle encourages us is the responsibility of the church goes beyond just showing up on Sunday. Now, thank God for those who come and support the church, but if that's the only service that we're doing as born-again Christians, we're missing out on a great opportunity. Most of our spiritual testifying and witnessing is going to be done outside of the church walls. It's going to be done on our job. It's going to be done in our community, in our neighborhood, in our family, people that we associate with, people that we meet on the street. So we do have a responsibility. And he also says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Never lose heart in doing good. Somebody once said, just do the right thing. You know, Christians should not have to be instructed to do the right thing. There is a spirit that lives within us that lets us know that we are supposed to be our brother's keeper. We are supposed to help one another. We are supposed to love one another as Christ has loved us. Not just in a time of disaster, not just in a time of a pandemic, but each and every day, even when things settle down, we still have that responsibility to love one another and to do those things that are pleasing in the sight of God. He gives us examples here. First of all, he talks about restoring those caught in sin. Let me read it. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I encourage so many of our members and some of our young ministers when we've talked to them, when we talk about the subject of witnessing to those and reaching out to those that are lost. And I always try to tell them to remember how you were before Jesus came into your life. Remember the situations that you had, the sin that was in your life. And let's don't be so quick to judge folks, but let's be very quick to reach out a hand and to lift them up and encourage them and to point them to the Scriptures of salvation. Take an opportunity and take a time. People may not know the Word of God like you do, and you've been allowed to be in service and you've been allowed to be in Bible studies and you read and study the Word of God, but there's people out there today that have only heard about Jesus, only heard about salvation. They don't know what it is to have peace and joy within their soul. They don't know what it is to have a personal relationship with the Lord. And it is the church's duty. It is the household of faith. I love that. Amen. That's just another way of saying the church, folks. When we're referring to the household of faith, that's ever born again believer, regardless of where they live, regardless of where they attend church, as long as they're filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and amen, they're living a life pleasing unto the Lord, we are part of a unit. We are part, amen, of a body of Christ. And one of those things that we're supposed to do in gentleness and meekness is to reach out to those people who are caught in sin. Those people who are devastated by the lifestyle of sin. And can I tell you, sin only brings joy for a short period of time. It's never everlasting joy. It's never peace. It's never that wonderful feeling, amen, that carries on and on and on like a relationship with the Lord does. And that's what the devil knows. And he's trying to tempt folks and trying to bring folks in the desires of the flesh and the lust of the flesh. But you can talk to people after people and they'll tell you there is no peace, there is no satisfaction outside of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is everlasting peace. So, church, let me encourage you. Not only when you're here in this building, not only when you're congregating with the true believers, but even in your time of work, even in your time of leisure, look for opportunities to reach out to those who are lost, to give them comfort, to give them hope, amen, to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. I love the way that the apostle said, to restore them. Amen. If in fact we had lost our way, if in fact we had failed in some situation, we would not want the church to point a finger of accusation at us. We would not want the church to disown us, but we would in fact want the church to reach out to us, someone who could understand, someone who would have love and compassion on us, and take the time and the opportunity to kneel and pray with those who have been caught up in the snares of sin. So the apostle says, reach out to those and restore those with gentleness and humility. Another thing that he addresses, to help carry each other's burdens. I believe with all of my heart that there is a family relationship in the church. We may not all be related to one another by genealogy, but we're related to one another by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. I never want to take it for granted just calling somebody brother or sister. I know what that means. That means we're part of the same family. That means we're part of the same blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to be there, readily available to help one another as they try to carry their burden. We need to be there to help them, to encourage them, and carry each other's burden. I will assure you, there will be a time, sometime in your life, that you're going to need the help and support and prayers of the church. And thank God that the family, the born-again believers, the household of faith is there to rally around us. And I'm so thankful, and I do want to just give some wonderful accolades of thankfulness to the church, because on many, many occasions during this situation, church members have called one another and said, do you need anything? Can I pick you up something? How's your family and all that? And I can ask you to continue to do that even when things settle down, because we do need to help each other carry their burdens. The third thing that he refers to is to be honest with ourselves and others. I want to remind you of a story in the Bible. There were two men who came to pray. A Sadducee and a Pharisee. One knelt down and began to smote himself on the chest, and he said, Father, have mercy on me, for I've sinned. The other one said, I am so glad that I'm not like this person. I do this and I do that and all of the things. I. And the Bible tells us that the one who smote his breast with his fist and began to ask for mercy, he went away more justified than the other. I will assure you, if you are lost today and you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to be honest with Him. Don't come down to an altar and tell Him how good you are. Don't come down to an altar and tell Him how much you've given to the church, or how many times that you've prayed, or even how many times you've read the Bible. All of that is wonderful and all of that is good, but that alone will not get you to heaven. But be honest with Jesus, amen? Be honest with the Lord when you kneel before Him. Because if you're not honest with Him, He sees and knows what's in your heart. The time of repentance is to be truly sorrowful for the sin situation that you're living in, and ask Jesus to forgive you. And how many knows that He's plenteous in forgiveness and mercy? So be honest with ourselves and be honest with others. One of the worst things that a church member can do is take on the air of self-righteousness. I want to be really, really straight with you. That is a turnoff to the world. That's a turnoff when you begin to tell them what you do and how good I am and look what I'm doing. That they're not concerned about that. They want a relationship with the Lord that's going to love them, that's going to forgive them. Thank God for the grace, the song that was about how great is grace and how wonderful is grace. Grace is that ability. Amen. Regardless of what we've done, the Lord is a forgiving and loving God. We need to understand that we don't need to have a self-righteous air, especially when you're reaching out. Be humble and be sincere when you're reaching out. Again, these things are specific things directed to the family of God. Amen. The household of faith, The ones whose occupants are related and regarded as a unit. Man, I don't know a whole lot about coaching athletics and all, but one thing that I hear resounding over and over and over, you play as a team. Man, when one person is hurt, then the whole team rallies around them. Oh, that we could get that type of cooperation in the church. Oh, that we could have that possibility of playing as a team, as one unit, coming together in one mind and one accord, ready to glorify and praise the Lord when the service begins. Amen. Already be in tune with the Spirit of God, looking for a wonderful and glorious anointing of God through a song, through a testimony, through the message, or whatever God sees fit to minister us in whatever capacity. So do away with the self-righteous spirit. Another thing that I want to address this morning is taking responsibility for what God is asking us to do. Many, many times we hear somebody ought to call that sister. Somebody ought to reach out to that brother. And I agree. But can I tell you, the responsibility does not always lie on one or two in a family unit or in a unit which such as the household of God. Many, many times God has laid it upon your heart to be that somebody, to reach out to your neighbor, to reach out to a brother, to reach out to a sister. These are some things that we can do. And understand, take responsibility for what God has asked us to do. Communicate and teach the Word of God and continue to do the good things that a Christian ought to do. Many, many times we think the only testimony that we leave is what we say. Let me tell you, people forget a whole lot quicker what you say than what you do. Our actions speak so much louder than our words. If we're spouting off something, amen, and our lifestyle's not measuring up to it, people are not going to have a bit of confidence in that. But live the life of a Christian. Exercise that goodwill in your heart and in your life, and truly reach out to your neighbors and love them and teach them the Word of God. Teach it to your family. Teach it to your children. At what age should you start teaching your children? As soon as they can comprehend. Amen. I don't think you have to wait to a certain age. I believe if you'll begin to feed them now. And all of this is talking about sowing and reaping. A lot of people want to reap, and they've never sowed. Man, you're not going to reap very much if you haven't sown anything. Amen. You know, the world teaches us that. I mean, we can know that in the regards of the things that we put in the garden. If we don't put any effort in it, we don't put any seeds in it, and then we go out and try to reap something or have a harvest, we're not going to have a harvest. And the Apostle Paul here is telling us, if you want these things, keep doing the right things. The harvest will come. So we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to take responsibility. And also we need to plant God's Word through His Spirit by faith. God's Word. That's what I encourage people to testify and to witness about. Not so much about what I've done or not so much what I do or whether I have a job in the church or what I'm doing. You know, again, that doesn't impress people out there. But what does impress and make a really great impact on people's lives is the Word of God. You know, rather than and trying to have a rehearsed testimony or witnessing, why not just take the Word of God with you and say, let's just open the Word of God. There's something special. It's anointed. Amen. I still, after all of these years, when I open the Bible and begin to read the Word of God, I can get from that what I can't get anywhere else. Because it's like God is taking time out just for me to address my situations. The Word of God is a living Word, and it applies to every facet of our life. So never, ever discount or disregard the Word of God when you're witnessing to others. The Word of God is truth. It is what will set you free. And the apostle was telling them, spread the word. Amen. Continue to plant God's word through His Spirit. And do it by faith. You know, I just want to pause just for a minute. If we're not praying with expectation, we're not praying by faith. If we're praying hoping things are going to change, if we're praying hoping things are getting better, then we're not really praying with faith. We're going to go through the motions. The Lord teaches us that when we pray, we expect those things to happen. We pray by faith. We ask in faith. Amen? Not our ability, but the ability of the Lord to turn things around. I'm often amused by many, many times we pray and we ask God to do something, then we're totally surprised when God does it. That's not much of an expectation. That's praying in hopes God will do it. But the church, if we will begin to pray with an expectation, if we want revival, we need to pray with an expectation of revival. If we want healing in our body, we need to pray with an expectation. If we want to reach out and save, get souls saved, amen, we need to do it with an expectation, not that mindset of, I done talked to them 3 or 4 times and they won't have what I say. What about praying or asking them with expectation? A return on the prayers that you have prayed. Keep planting God's Word, because the expectation is going to cause things to happen. And then the apostle says, keep doing good. Keep doing good. Basically, he says it like this. Let us not be weary or lose heart or faint in well-doing. Well-doing. Amen. How would you like to be known as someone who does well? You know, we ask people that, how you doing? I'm doing well. Are we? Let me just kind of focus in and zero it in a little bit. When somebody asks you how you're doing and you say, I'm doing well, what you're telling them is how you feel, how it applies to you specifically. But think about this the next time someone asks you, how are you doing? Are you really doing well? Are you really doing what the Apostle Paul here has laid down in order for us to do? Doing well means, again, taking on the responsibility of what the church is supposed to be doing. Witnessing, restoring those, loving those, helping those, carrying each other's burdens, reaching out and praying with expectation. I will assure you, it's going to make me rethink my response when somebody says, how are you doing? And I'm going to say, doing well. Am I doing well? Am I doing what God has called me to do? Am I living and abiding by these things that are written here in the book of Galatians? As a part, am I a part of a vibrant working church? Am I doing my part? Do we just expect it to lay on a few people's shoulders and expect things to get done, expect the word to go out, expect the song to be sung, expect people to witness to others? Are we stepping up and saying, what can I do, Lord? What can I do? I really don't have talent. I really don't have this. But surely there's something that I could do. And I'm going to read a scripture in just a minute that validates that every single one of us who have been born again has a place in the body of Christ. Regardless of what that position is, you still have that opportunity to do good for the Lord. Keep doing good. Don't lose heart in well-doing. Why? Because the harvest will come. Glory to God. I am not prophesying this morning. I'm merely reiterating what the apostle says here in the book of Galatians. If we sow, amen, we will reap. But we can only reap what we sow. If we sow goodness, we're going to reap goodness. Amen. If we sow the works of God, we're going to see the works of God come forth. If we sow in faith, we're going to receive in expectation the things that we petition unto the Lord. I believe the harvest is coming. I believe with all of my heart, not just because we have begun to pray more, not just because we begin to focus more, but I believe the prayers of our ancestors, the prayers of the churches that's been going up over and over and over, I believe they're about to really take effect. I believe there's going to come a great move, a great awakening, because people are realizing that they have no hope outside of God. You can't put your faith and trust in man. You can't put it faith and trust in financial system situations. How many knows that what you've got today could be gone by tomorrow, except a relationship with Jesus Christ? The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Praise God. I have the Lord living and abiding within me, and I'm going to keep doing well through the Spirit of God, because without that, I couldn't do anything. But with Him, all things are possible. The harvest will come. The household of faith simply means that it should be a united church, a church together, a church focused on the right things. Not who can get the biggest crowd, not who can build the biggest steeple, not who can have the best social programs. And I think sometimes churches, and I say churches, I include ourselves, we've lost focus of what's really, really important. What's really, really important is reaching out to the lost. Reaching out to those who are steeped in sin, those who have misery and those who have desperation in their lives. And rather than just kind of passing by them, as the story says about the Good Samaritan, let the church be the one that takes the time to go over and minister to that person that's lost. Let the church be the one that goes over and binds up the wounds that Satan and the world has inflicted upon him. Let the church be the one that puts an arm around someone who has nobody else to turn to and give them comfort and give them hope and let them know you don't have to live in this lifestyle. There is an alternative lifestyle, and it's called being a born-again Christian and giving your life to Jesus Christ. I said just a few moments ago that I want to give you some scripture to let us know that we're all in this together. How many times have you heard that during this virus? We're all in this together. We suffer together. We endure together. But thank God we're going to rejoice together too. You see, my hope is not in this world. I was thinking, someone on the radio recently was saying that, because of this, the world is never going to be the same. And God just kind of reminded me, you know what? The world hadn't been the same since the Garden of Eden. The world hadn't been the same since the fall of Adam. The world hadn't been the same since sin came in and deceitfully caused man and woman to fall. The world hadn't been the same. But you know what? This is not the world that I'm looking to get better. How many knows there's a better world coming? How many knows there's a better place? Glory to God. I'm just a stranger. I'm just on a journey through here. This is not my home. My home is in glory, and glory to God. It's going to be better than anything that you and I could ever imagine. To be a part of the body of Christ, to be a part of a vibrant working church, to be a part of the household of faith. Man, going forward, I may just call it every once in a while, rather than the church, I may just refer to it as the household of faith. Amen. Because that's basically what the church is. We are a unit, amen, living and operating by faith. But in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, beginning with verse number 19, to reiterate the apostles' encouragement for us to act as a unit, to act together and to be together. And I want you to notice as I read this, you're going to hear the word together mentioned more than once. This should be a theme of every church. This should be a theme of every born-again believer. Amen. We suffer together, but we're going to also rejoice together. We're going to be in heaven together. The Bible says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone that puts it all together," that stability, "in whom all the building," listen, "all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." We are together. We are a unit together. We talked about if one suffers, we all suffer. We carry each other's burden. It's time for the church to act like a unit. It's time for the church to join together. Pray for a mighty, mighty move of God. And I believe sometimes it takes disaster. It takes situations that happen in the world to cause the church to refocus on what is really the most important thing. I heard a preacher say that it's a time to readjust our priorities. Amen. Let me tell you something. God never readjusts His priorities. He never comes in and say, "Oh, you're spending too much time here, there, and that." But you know what? So many times our service unto the Lord gets kind of notched down 1, 2, 3, a little bit. It's not the number one priority in our life. And it takes something to jolt us back, shaking us, shaking the very foundation on which we stand, to let us know, you know what? All these other things are good, but they're not as important as a relationship with the Lord. Why does the Scripture say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll add these other things to you"? Church, let's take this opportunity. As I've already said, I see an energizing. I see a restoration of the church. I see a refocusing of the church. And again, I'm not just talking about our local assembly here. I'm glad that we're part of a much bigger body of Christ, those who believe in the Lord, those who believe in the infilling of His Spirit, and those that believe in living a righteous life before the Lord and looking for the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I see an energy that we haven't seen probably in my lifetime. And let's seize and take hold of this opportunity to live the life that the Lord would be pleased with, but also to take on the responsibilities that God asks of us to be our brother's keeper, to look for those, to help those. You know, the time of passing by that person on the other side, you know, the priest and the Levite, they just went on the other side. But those Samaritans said, you know what, I can't do that. That's what the church is focused on. I can't do that. I can't pass by that person and not at least tell them that Jesus loves them. Not at least ask them, were you born again? You know, do you have a church that you go to during this time? Do you have someone to pray with you? You know, there's a starvation out there. And a lot of times we're waiting on them to ask us, can you pray for me? Sometimes that's not going to happen. Well, what's wrong with saying, do you have anybody that you can share with? Do you have anybody you can pray with? Could we pray together? Could we look at the Scripture? That's not being offensive. That's being kind and humble and gentle and loving and knowing, amen, that there's hope for that person that you're talking to. Keep doing well. Keep doing well. Amen. Because we are a part of the household of faith. As we prepare to close this morning, again, it's certainly been different. I'll assure you of that. But we thank God that we've had the ability to come there in your homes and pray with you and bring you the Word of God. But we long for the day of when we can fellowship together. We long for that time. I feed off of the congregation and when we can come together again. And I pray that, you know, when you're comfortable, again, we're starting service again May the 3rd. But we're not demanding that you come. We're merely suggesting that you come. Whenever you feel comfortable, we want to be here for you. Because I believe that our faith and trust should be in the Lord, and He's the one that's going to give us comfort. But the sooner we can get together, I believe the sooner our lifestyle will settle down, and we'll understand, amen, that greater is the Lord through all of these trials than we could ever imagine. So may God bless you. We love you. Amen. Again, we love the live stream. We thank those who made this possible. But it's still not like being live. Amen. I believe I told Sister Jennifer, I said, you know, it's good, but it could be better. I said, canned biscuits are good, but homemade biscuits are better. And that's the way my analogy was of service. Service on the live stream is good, but it's better, amen, when we all get together. And as they played that song, when we saw, you know, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. And I pray today that if you're not ready, you know, this may reach out to some people that don't go to church. This may reach out to some people who've had a bad situation in church. You know, one of the saddest things I hear is, well, I don't go to church anymore because I got hurt in church. That's not the church's intent. It should never be. And unfortunately, sometimes that happens. But if we're really living and abiding in God's Word, we're not going to be hurtful to people, regardless of your past, regardless of what you're doing now. Church is where you need to be. You need to be a part of a body of Christ that loves you, man, that is concerned about where you're going to spend eternity. And folks, according to the way I read the Bible, you only got two choices. It can be heaven, or it can be a place of eternal damnation. And you don't have to go there, because you go there, amen, you go in there without... it's not God's intent and it's God's not purpose. So you're going there under your own responsibility. But there's a better place, and that better place is called heaven. But you must be born again. And our hopes and prayers that if you're lost today, that you'll find an altar of repentance. You'll find a church. You're welcome to come here. But find a Bible-believing church. Get involved and make Jesus Christ both Lord and Savior. May God bless you. We hope to see you very, very soon. We'll have one more live stream here Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, and then May the 3rd, next Sunday, we will be starting and opening up our doors to have corporate worship. Again, may God bless you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity, God, to spread the Word, to share the Word with those today. God, you see them. Lord, they can see us, but you see them. You see them in their homes. You see them where they are. You know the situations. God, you know the circumstances around them. Lord, if there's those out there right now who are hurting, Father, I pray that you would give them comfort. Some have lost loved ones during this time. God, I pray that you would lift them up. God, and right now, out there somewhere, there's someone who's weighing the opportunity to give their life to you. Lord, I pray that they would be submissive and obedient and come to you with a repentant heart, a broken and contrite spirit, and ask you to come into their life to be Lord and Savior. Let that happen right now, God, wherever they are. We know, God, that you're a merciful God, and we thank you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful day.